Good evening, folks. So glad you're back this evening. Hopefully you had a great afternoon, because it was a great afternoon, wasn't it? Who could have complained about today? Well, don't tell me who. I might have to preach tonight, or we'll have to change Mike's message or something, but I'm sure glad you guys are here. I really am. It's always something I look forward to. Not that I don't look forward to during the week, spending the time here with my wonderful secretary, my wife, but it's also nice when I get to see you guys, because you're family, amen? You are. You truly are, and I'm so glad that you're here tonight. I want to ask my ushers if they would come at this time. They have some love offering envelopes to pass out to you, and if you would like one, please raise your hand, and they'll make sure that you get one. So we're just going to take the one offering tonight, and your check needs to be designated to Shepherd's Bethel, or if you're just doing cash, put it in a love offering envelope, and we'll make sure that he gets that. Just by way of announcements, I didn't mention this morning, but the Golden Prayer Warriors Walk this week is canceled, okay? So you'll not be meeting this week. And a reminder, too, that we do have the cupcakes after church tonight. Please stay and help us eat those. And I'm going to be dreaming about the donut trail for several nights now. This really looks good, folks, I'm telling you. It was suggested this morning that we make it like a day trip and take the church bus and a bunch of people over there and just kind of... Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of... I saw some hand raising here, folks. That's good. And so we can all get pumped up on sugar, and then the bus driver, me, can then have a sugar crash on the way home, and you'll have to be fighting to keep me awake. But we'll figure something out, maybe. Let's see. I think that's it by way of announcements. Just take a look at the bulletin. Know what's going on. There's a bottle. I know some more went out the door this morning. We've already had some baby bottles come in from last week. Please take one. Please take one. You don't have to fill it with change even, okay? Just put some change in there. If you don't get it full, that's okay. They'll take anything that you get. And there are churches all over the area doing this very thing. And when you start throwing your change together and everyone from all the other churches, it really helps out the center a lot with the good work that they do all throughout the year. I think last week I had mentioned, just last year, they helped over 75 families with some type of need, whether it was a pregnancy-related need or abortion counseling, post-abortion counseling, Bible studies with not just these mothers that are coming in, but the dads, too. They really try to get the dads in there because they're not just trying to reach one person. They're trying to reach an entire family unit. And if you get mom and dad in there studying the Bible, accepting Christ as their Savior, growing in the Lord, guess what you do? You break the chain. You break the cycle. And it makes a world of difference. So your pennies, your nickels, your dimes, they help. So please, take another one if you feel led to do that. And I know the center would very much appreciate that. Well, let's go ahead and do some singing here tonight.
Family song tonight. Let's gather around the radio. We'll let the piano and the organ be the radio. Did you ever do that? Put on the record player or something and just sing. For this first one, you may not need a songbook, but I'm going to warn you, on the next one after this one, oh, you want a songbook, okay? But let's sing Dwelling in Beulah Land.
Thank you.
466, go ahead and take out that songbook, because you won't see the notes and where they're going. And maybe you haven't sang this song for a while. You're going to need the book to follow along. Let's stand together while we sing, "I Found a Friend." It's not the one we usually sing, I'm trying to tell you. But what a great, great song.
Please be seated. Ushers, if you would come, please, as we take our offering this evening. There's a number of folks, choir tonight in choir rehearsal. Before we started, we were just remembering several of our folks that aren't able to be here right now. They're at home recovering. Steve, still recovering from his surgery now a few weeks ago. And Teresa is home recovering. And Pat Four is home recovering. I didn't even know she had surgery this last week. And Mark Kopenbarger is home recovering. And there was another one. Who was that? Say again. Adele, yes, Adele Barger. She had some surgery this past week. So just keep all those folks in prayer. Just, Larry, would you lead us, please?
Father, we do thank you once again for your love and kindness. We want to care for you. Creation of these God, we love you, Lord. Just creation of you. We know we this week can work, Lord. And we make things just from now to soon, Lord. Now, we think of those who are recovering, Lord, and they can't be with us tonight. I pray you'll give them a special blessing, Lord. Reach down and fill their hearts with your love, Lord. We just thank you so much again for this church. And I ask you, God, and direct all that to continue to be lighthouse throughout this community and surrounding the earth. I pray that you bless the gift of the year and use it for your glory and honor.
Thank you, ladies. I wonder if I'd take a survey tonight. Brother David, did you play in the high school band when you were in school?
No, I didn't.
You did not. And yet you jump all over those 88 keys on that piano. Miss Edwards, did you play in the high school band?
Yeah.
Michelle? And we know these, our students do. And how many of you played in the high school band when you were, you know, back 60, 70 years ago in school? A few of you. And still singing today. That's great. Keep on keeping on. And some of you, we want you to play in the music of the church, and some of you, we don't. So, you know who you are. But praise God for the music in your heart. Let's sing 421. God's got great things promised for you, folks. Higher Ground, 421. Come and sing for us just before Pastor preaches, and keep your mind on that higher ground that God has prepared for us.
You will safely lead me. Shepherd's Bethel is a place where missionaries can find retreat and rejuvenation during deputation or furlough. Shepherd's Bethel Mission was founded in 1971 by Pete and Marge Weiss and is based on the Bible story of the Shunammite woman as told in 2 Kings chapter 4, 8 through 11. The Lord had burdened their hearts to start a ministry providing rent-free housing for traveling missionaries. The Lord led them to West Baden, Indiana, where an elderly lady had 66 acres of property she had been holding for investment purposes. When she heard what the land would be used for, she sold it to mom and dad for $4,000, which was the purchase price some 20 years earlier. She then donated the first three mobile homes and paid to have them set. And when she died just a few years later, she left a brand new 70-by-14-foot mobile home that she had purchased to the mission. During the first 10 years that Mom and Dad were at Shepherd's Bethel, they placed 12 homes around a 25-acre circle drive. They also built a park area for the families, a fashion center for free clothing, a workshop for the mechanical needs of the mission, and a laundry facility for the missionary guests. In 1980, Dad was taken home to be with the Lord. Just 9 years later, Mom, who was 79 and quickly approaching the time when she would need a replacement, began seeking for help. It was during these last years that God had a hold of her youngest son, Michael's heart, and he was born again. By the grace of God, my parents and I believed and practiced faith in God's revelation found in His Word, the Bible. Our calling is that of service to God's chosen servants based on Romans 12, 9 through 13, where the Bible says, "Be kindly, affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessities of saints, given to hospitality." In the late 90s, all the trailers were in desperate need of major renovation. Taking God at His word in Jeremiah 33, 3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not," we began planning and praying for the remover and replacement of these aged units. The office, Fellowship Hall, was the first building to go. God supplied many teams, beginning with Burge Terrace and Pastor Dave Testman, a pastor who had experience in concrete on a commercial scale, and the Lord used him and his people to lay the block, pour the footer, and the floor. Chicago and Indiana churches jumped in and helped us plumb and construct and complete this desperately needed facility. It was so good not to have to supply wood for the wood-burning stove and to have a building that provided space where we could build a library, a fellowship hall, a kitchen facility for the upcoming work teams, and an office to do work in. Since that time, we have fed and cared for many hundreds of teenage groups, men for missions groups, and ladies groups. Next, we began replacing two trailers at a time with three-bedroom frame-built duplexes. These would be 1,450 square foot per side, three-bedroom, two-bath units. The Manor House was built first, named for our home church, Marquette Manor, in Illinois, who supplied the builder, Joe, and much of the initial material cost. After doing the groundwork, God touched the heart of a widow lady in Indiana, gifting us with enough to begin framing and roofing. How marvelous it was to watch our Lord coordinate and pay for all that remained. Next was Grace Dwelling Place, named again by Joe the contractor, who would be used of the Lord to frame and help drywall most of the remaining homes on the mission. Men from Colonial poured the floor and did the electrical. Marquette and Thompson Road men did plumbing, most of which they paid for. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 2, 3 through 5, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the power in the Spirit, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This is how I felt the entire time we spoke in churches, trying to encourage them to assist us. It would have to be God. It would have to remain God who empowered us, or this was going to fail." Faith's Abode was next. This would be the last three-bedroom duplex unit. Time and again, we ran into the end of our resources and connections, but Jesus, our faithful Lord, would intercede, calling men and women in youth groups to come alongside and carry us through. Having built three-bedroom duplexes for the larger families, we now began praying for the resources for smaller units. God's answer? Build a quadplex. Michigan and Chicago folk teamed up to design a home with two-bedroom units in the middle and two efficiency apartments on the ends. The Lord then directed us to Bethel Baptist in Schaumburg, Illinois. Not realizing the competitive relationship that existed between this church and Marquette, I showed a slide presentation of the men from Marquette building and helping in the first two homes. By the end of the service, the pastor and deacons met me in the lobby and told me I had thrown down the gauntlet, and they were coming to build a home wider and taller and longer than the manor house. Praise the Lord. They then raised over $40,000 in the next 2 years and sent a team down to frame up the Schaumburg Chalet. Many other churches and individuals sacrificed and labored with us. First Baptist Church of Troy, Michigan roofed it in, Heather Hills laid the flooring, and on it went. Lastly, we took on the biggest project of all. This home would take over 5 years to build and would keep us on our knees throughout the course of the time. The name God impressed us with was Enoch's Abode. This home was to be a two-bedroom duplex, and the first with a full basement. The basement would be utilized to store all the furniture that is donated, which needs air-controlled environment. This beautiful home was built for around $35 a square foot. Think of it! Normally, construction runs over $130 a square foot, but God's people assisting us made this possible. In January of 2011, the Lord led Steve and Ruth Carr to assist in the ministry. Steve is the director of maintenance and is responsible for the homes and making sure the grounds are well kept. As the ministry has grown, so has the necessity of equipment and facility management buildings. There is a heavy equipment building, a machine shop, and a woodworking shop, a laundry facility. We have 12 storage garages, some used for the ministry and some for missionary guests to gather together what they need to ship to the field. Also, with the continued blessing from God's people, we now have a barn added for raising cattle. All the meat is available to the missionaries free of charge. God has supplied a commercial walk-in cooler freezer so the meat may be stored without spoilage. Our fellowship building has a pastoral library with over 3,000 volumes and a recreational gym. Several churches in Indiana organize pantry showers for the mission so the groceries can be provided for the guests. Near the rec hall is an outdoor recreation area. It includes a 20 by 40 foot picnic arbor, swing sets, tree house, basketball court, and playing field.
Well, we really appreciate the ministry of Shepherd's Bethel. It's an oasis. We really enjoy the fact that we have other missionaries that we can fellowship with, that we can share burdens with, we can share trials, we can share joys, and just have that camaraderie, what you need when you're on the road and constantly moving from place to place. Our kids really enjoy the fact that there's a lot of kids around, and you know, whenever missionaries are in, they're just playing together all the time, and so that's been a blessing.
You know, folks, the average deputation is now taking almost 4 years. Our missionary guests may stay up to 3 years here, paying only utility costs. This alone saves the average family of four over $25,000, which can then be used for shipping, tickets, or materials for the field. But much more than a financial blessing is shared with the fellowship and safety that these families enjoy while they're with us. They have picnics together in our park, gather with us in the fellowship hall for dinners, and enjoy the commonality of those who have the same blessing and burdens.
Shepherd's Bethel has been such a blessing to us in so many ways and at just the right times in our lives.
We are so glad that there is a ministry like Shepherd's Bethel. The Lord has used it to help us, getting to the field, resting and recuperating at different times since then, and over the whole period of our service and missions. The whole staff at Shepherd's Bethel is just fantastic. The Lord has given them a gracious, loving attitude towards people and a heart for missionaries.
Would you please pray about getting involved with Shepherd's Bethel as they serve fundamental missionaries with rent-free homes? Your partnership through prayer and support will make a great difference in the lives of God's chosen servants. Is that not an amazing amount of God's grace and goodness over 50 years of ministry there? Coming up on 50 years in 2020. And I'm sure my parents are still excited to know about it and to see God's hand of goodness on us. Is there any questions about the ministry? What we're doing? Who we serve? What's going on there? I gave you a newsletter this morning when you were here, and it talks about a project we're on. That's the project of finishing Enoch's Abode driveway. It's the only home on the ministry that doesn't have a blacktop driveway yet. We hope to start that in June. In fact, we're starting the stonework underneath and all the backhoe work next week. So keep us in prayer about that. We hope to excite and stir up some work teams. We need some youth groups down there this summer and some Men for Missions group to help us through these projects. We're going to be doing some porch decks and have to restain and redo a bunch of work down there. So keep us in prayer about that. If you don't have any questions, turn with me, if you would, to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I think one of the things we need to be constantly encouraged about in this day and age is where our confidence and strength comes, where our fearlessness comes in our Christian deportment, in our Christian walk, in our Christian life altogether. Moses, of course, in the last chapter of Deuteronomy is retiring permanently. The Lord is going to take him home. We find that in chapter 34 there, Moses in verse 7 was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there rose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in all the mighty hand, in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of Israel. So Moses has come to the end of his ministry, the end of his life. He's lived 125 years. Let's not skip over that phrase that his strength and health was not abated. Anyone who's over the age of 65 like I am, you begin to appreciate a sentence like that more than anybody else in the room. Because at our age, we understand that's not the case with most of us. And yet God chose to be special with this man in his relationship and in his health and in his strength. And this man's strength and health was untouched, really. He's declared by God to be a very special prophet in person. None was like unto him. And Moses left a historical testimony, not only of his walk with God, but his confidence in God. He knew God as the omnipotent one. He trusted God in all of his promises. He related to God and every day in his decision-making processes. And Moses did something more than that. He passed that legacy on to the next generation. You can see that in his training of Joshua, for instance, his replacement. Moses took responsibility to train this young fellow and bring him up after him. And folks, that's what we're called to do here in this church. We're called as leaders, as elders, those of us that are in that position, to serve the Lord, to love the Lord, to honor and glorify the Lord, but we're also challenged to train the next generation, to disciple the next generation. Joshua, of course, had a personal testimony. You remember Joshua's been faithful serving the Lord. He's been by Moses' side for 40 years in the wilderness. And one thing we must not miss out in this conversation that's found in the latter part of those verses is that Joshua had the Spirit of the living God in him. I think Pastor said it well this morning when he prayed for those two young men graduating from college. He said they've acquired a lot of knowledge. What they need is wisdom from the Lord. Joshua had wisdom because he had the Spirit of God. And lest any of us here in this room say to ourselves, well, that's what differentiates me and my abilities from somebody like Moses and somebody like Joshua, let's not forget that Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says this: you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if you're a born-again believer here this evening, if you know Christ as your personal Savior, you are indwelt by the Spirit of God, the wise and only knowledge in all the universe. I had the privilege of following behind parents who left a legacy of their faithfulness to God, their utter dependence on Him. When they came down to Shepherd's Bethel in 1970, they began the ministry in 71, but they arrived in 70. And when they came down there, there was nothing there on that property but a forest and an old building. And they had to, my dad was 63 and my mom was 60, and they had to start in their retirement years to knock that forest down and put that road in and lay those trailers and that foundation. You are never too old to serve the Lord, folks. God will give you the energy, He'll give you the strength, He'll give you the wherewithal to accomplish what He's called you to do. And I was able, even though I was an unsaved fellow at this point in my life, because my wife and I weren't saved until we were in our early 30s, but I was able to watch my parents even at a distance and see the miraculous work of God in their life. Constantly calling out to God, praying for things that they needed, and God would constantly supply. And my mother was a wonderful storyteller, and she would always have these wonderful stories to tell us about how God supplied a truck, and how God paid for the trailer, and how God did this, and how God did that. And of course, as a lost guy, I probably wasn't listening like I could have been, but boy, it was making an impression on me. In verses 1 through 5, then in Joshua chapter 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness in Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river of Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. God reinforces again for Joshua with him his historical confirmation of his purposes, his covenant. He reiterates his position as protector for any upcoming battle. I mean, he's going to walk with Joshua just like he did with Moses. And folks, we serve the same God today. And that is not just a saying that we come up with. It's something we repeat. We serve a God who is absolutely without compare. His strength, his might, his thought, his capability, his desire to love and care for us, his provision are without equal. We've had the opportunity to witness that for 30 years as God has provided time and time again, both through health issues, through safety issues, through storms and things that were coming, through work teams and provisions and paying for the stuff that you all saw, that all those homes are paid for. That's God's provision. And I think, folks, that we as Christians in this country are probably facing the greatest struggle in American Christianity. We are obviously constantly aware that liberalism and humanism in our nation are fiercely determined to wipe out the moral and spiritual absolutes of God's directive for his creation, for us. Whether it's abortion or sodomy or marital infidelity, the destruction of the family as a unit, with the father as a head and parents as responsible providers, these are just warning signs of the true battle, the spiritual battle. Psalms chapter 2, verse 1 through 3 reminds us of this. It says this, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves," listen to the way that's written, "they set themselves and take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. And here's what they desire. Let us break his bands asunder and cast his cords from us." We don't want his restrictions. We don't want his rules and regulations. We don't want his rule over us. But folks, we are God's creation. And we, the church, are his personal responsibility. He is both in charge and in control. We are his bride, and we need to have confidence in the nature and the historical testimony of this sovereign Lord of heaven who is in command. Folks, CNN is not in command. God in heaven is in command. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner," Paul is speaking, "but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according," listen to this, "to his own purposes and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began." Before the world began. Do you believe that? What was orchestrated today, what's happened in the world today, was orchestrated by God before there was ever an earth with a moon that's circling it. Ever. And God knew it, and God purposed it, and planned it, and it's all being done according to his will. Everything. Look at verse 3 through 6 in that chapter then. "Every place," he promises, "that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I've given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness at Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I'll not forsake you or fail you. Be strong," he says, "and of good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide the inheritance of the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous." Because we serve the same God who has the same purpose and strength, the same power and authority over everything, we need to be courageous. Courageous enough to commit wholly to his plan and draw strength from his promises. If you want to see the opposite of this in our world today, think about the way the things are going right now. This brings to my mind Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1, which says it like this. Listen to this. "The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as lions." The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as lions. And I want you to listen to the media and the reaction of those acolytes who worship at the feet of humanism. It's funny, almost the moment they publicize some new difference of their program, of their societal control, heads begin rolling. Voices declare their fear and abhorrence of any who will not conform. But I want us to never forget, folks, we who are devoted to Jesus Christ, who is the living Word of God, His imputed righteousness secures us and those who inherit the promises of God in Christ. And we need to be bold in His righteousness, in His judgments. And we need to never compromise His truth for any social movement that's out there. He says, be courageous, be bold. That means secure your heart, secure your mind in His ability to know what's best for you, as He's proclaimed in His infallible revelation. Be strong and courageous. Observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, command thee. Turn not from the left hand or the right, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written there. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Lastly, we need to be courageous, folks, because God, the limitless one, limitless in His power, in His ability, in His wisdom, He's committed to us and commanded us. He's committed to us and He's commanded us. Look what He says to Joshua. Have not, verse 9 there, have not I commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Psalms 115, verse 3 puts it like this. For our God is in heaven, and He does whatsoever He pleases. I love that. Our God is in heaven, and He does whatever He pleases. Psalms 22:28 says this, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and He is the governor among all nations. They're not in charge. They have the illusion of that, and it's unfortunate, but they are not in charge. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 through 6 says this, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He saith this, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men will do unto me. Turn with me, if you would, in closing to Ephesians 6. I know we're all familiar with this passage, but let's put this on one more time. Because when we're faced with the reality around us of this warfare, this spiritual fight that's against us in our schools, in our businesses, in our neighborhoods, when the fearmongers are constantly putting out the information to drive us into our closets or into the basement to hide and not confront the issues with people in their lives in love, trying to lead them to Christ, trying to help them to come to the reality of eternity with Him instead of without Him. We need to be ready. And the Bible gives us a plan for that, for being ready. You're all familiar with this last chapter of Ephesians 6, where he closes it out in verse 10, and he says this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Is that not what we just heard, that entire text in Joshua chapter 1? Be strong in the Lord. Every morning when you wake up, you commit your mind, You commit your heart. You commit your family. You commit the reality of what's going to happen to you today to the Lord in His strength. To the Lord in His ability. To the Lord in His knowledge. In His wisdom. And when you do that, this follows. You put on the whole armor. That you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, because that's what it is. That's the information that's being cast at our feet. Because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we face with all the information on the web, everywhere else we look. That's what's coming at us. Anything that's negative to Christianity in that sense of denial and rejection, everything that mocks and makes fun of God and the truth of His word and His Son and His power and authority over all things is nothing but trickery thrown at us by the wiles of the one who's been doing it from the beginning. Wherefore, verse 13, take unto you the entirety, the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in that evil day. And as you've been taught before, that's not talking about some future event. That's talking about your evil day. Today in America is our evil day. The generation before faced another evil day. And if the Lord tarries, the next one will face a different kind than we are right now. But we are in an evil day. We are to take on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand, and having done all to stand, and stand therefore this way, having your loins girt with truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness that is not your own righteousness, that is the righteousness that you wear, that's Christ's. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. But above all this, look at this, the way that he lays this out for us. Above all this, this is the thing that matters most. Take on the shield of faith. You must believe when you leave your home, when you turn on your TV, whatever you're doing, you must believe the truth of God's word supremely above everything else that's being thrown at you. You must believe that God is right and that everything else is an illusion. And that's exactly what it is. Take on the shield of faith, because you're going to be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. Put on that assurance, that confidence that you are Christ's child. That you are born again. That you have eternal life. And that nothing can, according to Romans chapter 8, nothing can remove you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. And lastly, and I'm going to close really with this verse, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word, and pray. And pray. Pray like you believe. Pray like you're trusting. Pray in your confidence. Pray for those around you. Pray for the church, for the folks that are in it. Pray for each other. Pray in faith. Folks, we serve a God who can do anything and is willing to do anything. Have confidence in that. Be bold in that. Fight the battle armed with that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in your home this evening again and just share for a moment the nature of God in our lives. This loving, sovereign Lord who governs all the universe and who has privileged us with his character through faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus. We give you glory and honor for it this evening, Father, and we ask for your help, because these things must be in the will and power of God, or they cannot be done. So help us to give you praise and honor this week as we go about our week and serve you and stay faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen.